This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Thornton.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of the conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon, head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
Now, if you want to show your love for Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop where you can get shirts and bags, anything with logos on it. And yeah. Oh, and we should also mention you should come check us out on twitch.tv/thepopculturists. We are now a Twitch affiliate. We'd love your follows and love to watch gameplays with us. Yeah, I've been sick all week, so I've come to learn if I try to enunciate my voice or kind of talk with purpose, instant crack. But if I if I bring it down here, and I just kind of mumble my way through a sentence, like, it's fine. But the second I put some effort into it,
you'd still be louder than me anyway.
That's the point. So, I'd still be louder than you. How you doing?
Better than you.
I know.
Fucker.
So how was your week and a bit off?
You say I had a week and a bit off, but all I didn't do was sit down and record a 1 hour show. So it's not like I did nothing. I mean, you know what I mean?
No, no.
It's like a week off. It's like I sat on my ass, like playing with my dick.
No, but you had a week of Pop C content. You don't do any other shows or anything. You just do this one.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, what did you do with your week away from Pop C?
It's the same thing I do any other week when I had Pop C. I mean, it's just an hour that I saved in my life. I mean, there's not a lot there.
Oh no, it's a big request from your Thursday night schedule.
What?
What day was Saturday?
Ah.
Your Saturday schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's I just know what to do with all my free time. I suddenly had having the week off. That's all right. Had Alex's birthday. That went well.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a good time. It was a tiring time. But, you know, as parents, we get there in the end. Lost two kids, found them. All good.
Very nice.
Yeah, and played games.
What'd you play?
I do have an announcement, actually.
Oh.
Alex, my son, 9 years old, received his very first Victory Royale. Won his first game of Fortnite, first day of school holidays, actually. And
I have put, at last I played it, I put over 50 hours into PUBG.
Yeah.
And I'm still yet to get chicken dinner. I haven't played Fortnite, so I don't know whether I can get it.
The thing is that you know how you talk about the intensity of the games, you know, come down to the last 10 and you're like, your heart's going.
Yeah.
Fuck, I thought he was going to have a heart attack. Because he's like, I won! And I'm like, put my hand on his chest. I was like, settle down. You're okay. Just
breathe, motherfucking breathe. Put splash water in his face.
But it's cool to see, you know, as kids, you know, you have those moments in games where you, like, you can't believe what just happened. And yeah, it was really cool to see that. Oh, fuck, he's good at it. It's better than me.
He got nailed down?
We're playing.
What's
he
playing on?
Everything. He got the Victory Royale on iOS because I got a code,
okay, cool,
code to play on the iPad. He got it on that. His first time playing it on iOS as well. But he's played a lot of other, like, PUBG rip-offs on iOS. So okay. I think the way the controls and all that were very comfortable to him, whereas everyone else maybe jumping in for the first time was very jarring and different.
That's the only reason I've not really jumped into it, is simply because of that, because of the
how you move and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, like, touch control.
Yeah, no, he does well enough. The resolution's a bit shit. I mean,
oh, I'm gonna,
like, you can see someone on the mountain far away, it's like two brown pixels just moving left to right. But, you know, it's on mobile.
Mm.
I mean,
it's impressive, know, that it's on mobile.
It's fucking impressive that you're having 100 player games on mobile as it is anyway. What else did I play? Far Cry 5, which we'll get into
later
for the top of the show. And yesterday in the PlayStation sale, I picked up Pillars of Eternity by Obsidian Entertainment. You may know them from Fallout New Vegas.
Correct. And they did the original South Park.
The original South Park, yeah. Digging it.
Yeah.
Like, like nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Like overload, thinking back to the days playing like Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale. I think they were called back in the day, they were called CRPGs, which I think was computer RPGs, which is the isometric, isometric games.
Like 2.5D things.
Yeah, well, not even. I mean, you know, just 2D. There's no, no.
Oh, because in my head I was thinking like Diablo 2.
Think like Diablo, yeah, Diablo 2, yeah. Diablo 1, Diablo 2, whereas Diablo 3 took on that 2.5D kind of depth to it. Really good. I've been reading a lot lately. Like, I've just found a lot of comfort in just reading a couple hours before bed. But when I'm reading, I feel like I could be playing a game. And this bridges the gap because there's a whole lot of dialogue and world building and
a
whole lot of text and a whole lot of reading as well. But I'm also playing a game at the same time. So I was really fitting into that. This is what I feel like I want to do right now. And coincidentally, number two comes out like next week. I had no idea until I was Googling Pillars of Eternity because I didn't know much about it. So obviously I did a little bit of research, watched like the angry review on it and stuff, which I always find super informative, the angry reviews.
Yeah, like they're a half an hour long.
They're like half an hour long. Yeah, it was really good. But yeah, I Googled it and it's like number two release date. I was like, oh, that's out this year and it's next week. So now I need to fucking power through this. Nice. Oh, but I mean,
you have to get day one.
So I'm a female paladin who abandoned the war in disgrace. And then I'm in search, did mercenary work on my way. And now I'm in search for a new start. That's a story I built for myself. There's like thousands of different things you can do. But the cool thing is all those choices I made for that to be my character is a recurring theme in future dialogue.
It's like D&D sort of
thing? Yeah, it feels like a D&D. It was, yeah, everything I've chosen that I want to be, like the disgraced war, you know, it all carries forward into future conversations with, you know, other NPCs and stuff. So thinking about on the back end, the amount of dialogue I'm not seeing for all the other choices I didn't make is fucking incredible. But yeah, it was a kickstarted game because I don't think any publishers thought there was a market for these kind of games. And then of course we got like Divinity Original Sin, which is another like
it's a big style, one, real big one,
you know, bigger one. But yeah, it was,
that's
kickstarted.
One of those ones where like if you grabbed an arm like at the start of the game, it's like 20 hours later someone's like, do you have an arm? He's like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah, here you go, man. It's all good.
Holy shit, you have an arm in your bag?
Yeah. But yeah, no, and it's, you know, it was kickstarted to success. They raised like $4.5 million, and obviously that's enough for a sequel, which coincidentally is out next week. I'm looking forward to going home and just kind of, it's like a zen kind of thing, because it really is, it's not open world in that sense, but it really is just explore the town, speak to the NPCs, what's their backstory, who's that backstory, you know, why are they doing this, and you know, you can go, seems like you can go as deep as you want to go. Or you can just kind of just go, yep, cool, whatever. I'm just going to go fight shit now. You know, so it's cool. I'm really digging it.
Very nice.
There was so much spit in your mouth when you said that then. I just saw white when you opened your mouth.
Well, it's because I have to lubricate it. Because like the broken voice comes from dry throat and like scratchy throat. So I have to like intentionally hold a liquid in my mouth so that I can swallow and go, and doesn't fucking burn, like swallowing rocks.
Pillars of Eternity is like $22 on the PSN until for like another 2 weeks.
So very schmick.
If you're interested, possibly Craig, our buddy Craig. Ooh, that Craig might be down his alley.
Yeah,
highly recommend because it's normally like $70. So
yeah, I have to reach out Craig and let him know because he's looking for some new games.
Yeah, highly recommend. Reminds me of the old I said like Baldur's Gate, nice one, but even the original like the Fallout games, like Fallout 1 and 2.
Oh,
that's
like Tactics
kind of
and
style.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, what about you?
My list is a lot shorter this week that I can remember off the top of my head. Obviously, Far Cry is a big one, but we'll get to there soon enough. The other one I spent the most time with is MLB The Show.
Ooh. One of those things when you told me, like when we first started hanging out, and you're like, yeah, baseball's sick. I'm like, you like baseball?
Baseball's dope.
Like the most unsporty person I've met in my life. And you're like, baseball's dope. I love like, what's the big baseball game? Like the grand final of baseball.
Oh, like the World Series.
Yeah, the World Series. Yeah. You're like, yeah, you get that with my friends and we get pissed and all that kind of stuff. It was weird at the time.
Yeah, so thank you to PlayStation Australia for providing us the code for MLB The Show 18. I fucking love it, man. Like, I already knew I was going to love it because it's MLB and it's like my sports jam. Mm. It's visually stunning. Like, it's baffling to me that because they're outside of RBI Baseball, which is this really sort of like low end, kind of mid tier baseball game at best. This is since 2K stopped doing a baseball game like about 3-4 years ago, there is no major competition.
So they don't have to
do Sony, anything. Yeah, Sony San Diego don't have to do anything. And if they just release the same game year on year, who's going to stop them? Yeah. Right?
It's like EA's Monopoly on
yeah, it's EA's Monopoly
NBA
on NBA.
And Madden and all that, yeah. Is it Madden? Yeah, I do Madden.
No,
2K do Madden.
NBA 2K is the big one. They used to EA used to do NBA Live, and that didn't go so well. Yeah. So I should say 2K's basketball.
Yeah.
Like, so they could just give it the minimal effort and would be sufficient. But like, this game is fucking stunning. Like, it is so good looking. It's like watching a game.
Was it last year's MLB?
A real game. I mean, a game.
Was it last year's MLB that was up for the Writers' Choice Awards as well for that mode?
No, or was that was long shot, which was Madden.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right.
Yes. Yeah, so the campaign on this is no way as impressive as like a Madden one. It's not like you're this guy and you do this and this and this. Like, you create your own character, which, mind you, I fucking made me. Like, it took me a little bit of time, but I made me. It is like a spitting image of me with slightly more beard.
Better than last year's effort.
Oh, wait. I pretty much, because what the side note, one of the greatest things you can do is when you open up the road to the show, which is the campaign, or like, you know, my player version, you go, do you want to bring a character from 17?
I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yep. So brings it on over, and then it goes and gets revamped to whatever the current aesthetics are, and then you go, cool, you want to tweak it a little bit, so you can tweak it and make it a bit newer.
That's what they should have done in Destiny, because you could port your character over from Destiny 1, Destiny 2, because, you know, some of the customization options change. People's characters came out looking nothing like what they had, but you had no option to change.
Yeah.
You still don't have an option to change it. So it's cool that, yeah, port it over. Here it is on the new engine. If something looks a bit off, here's the opportunity to kind of, you know, fix it up a little bit. That's cool. I like that.
So one of the big things they've changed is they've removed all microtransactions. So there's not a single way to purchase any skill point in that game.
Cool. Was there in 17?
Yes. So you're able to buy skill points and buy in-game coins to sort of do stuff. The way it used to work is, in terms of the stats and whatnot, is you would have, you know, power against right-handed pitchers, and it would be like 50, and then you would input points into it as you earn points throughout the game.
So then you come up against a left-hand pitcher and you might be garbage.
Yeah, so what they've done is they've simplified it but made it better. So rather than you putting points into what you think you should be playing like, it'll reward you for how you actually play.
Okay. Right.
So
if you're playing and it finds out your strength is, you know, X and X, that's how your character kind of develops.
Exactly. Cool. So straight off the bat, though, pun intended, the first thing is like, hey, we have this thing called attributes where you can pick sort of your baseline for your character. Like, are you a power hitter? Are you sort of an all-rounder? Are you a defensive character? You're like, how do you want to play?
Yeah.
And then that gives you different caps on different traits. So if you're a power hitter, obviously you want to have like your max cap is like 199 for power.
It's funny because we're playing two very different games, but got the same thing in Pillars of Eternity. Mm. I'm like, do you want to be mighty, charismatic? Mine's much more fucking geekier.
Yeah. So as a power hitter, you're not going to have a lot of speed because you're a big dude, and you're like, funk, and plus you don't need to be that aggressive on the bases because your job is just to get people in.
Mm.
One of the biggest stats in baseball is RBIs, which is runners batted in. So although you may not have got a run yourself, you've helped people get in. Like, actually mark how many, like, it's almost like assists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a power hitter, you'll probably put,
so bases loaded, you get power hitting.
Yeah,
bases loaded,
you got, you know what, you're three on, you're there, you're coming in, fwong, your idea is to either get it over, get it out of the park, or get it deep, so that those three guys can get in. And even if you just get one base hit, you just get into the first base, you've helped clear them out. That's what your job is. And then obviously, if you're a bit more defensive, your job's more of like, you know, keeping it close, keeping it tight sort of thing. And all around, it's a bit of everything. So by doing that, it gives you different areas to focus on when you're building your character. So like an example, I don't bunt. So a bunt is when yeah, you should, and you just, so rather than the big swing, you bunt it down to the left, and it gets someone into a run. Like, you sacrifice yourself 99% of the time to get someone into a scoring position. Like, if you've got someone on first base super fucking fast, you bunt and you've got, you know, you've got no outs, bunt it, get him into a spot, someone can come in, like a lucky power hitter, wail it out, they're gonna come through.
There's more strategy to baseball than I thought.
There's a lot more, yeah. Like, I'm just touching the surface.
Hit the ball,
man.
Really hard and home runs. Woo! Doo, 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 doo. Yay!
So, like, as a result, so because of that, I've designed my character not around bunting because I don't use it. You know what I mean? So, like, the points.
No wasted points.
Yeah, there's no wasted points because I just go, nope, put everything over here, put everything over here, da, 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 and it kind of goes, okay, cool, and then bunting sort of slowly doesn't become a priority anymore.
Yep.
That makes sense. It's really fun.
Cool. That it? Other than like that in Far Cry? That's it?
Off the top of my head, yeah. Like I said, last week I played Ark Park. I haven't played that since, so I really want to. American Dream was before that.
Cool.
I think I played something Sunday, but I don't know what it was. Like, because Far Cry came on Tuesday, MLB came on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I filmed all day Sunday and I edited all day Monday. So no, the only two games I played.
Cool.
We'll get to them as I cough directly into the microphone to tell you about the news. This is the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about the news that's happened this week for the PlayStations.
7 bits of news this week. nothing too out there.
I'm going to drink water.
The industry is chilling at the moment, it seems. Number one, Sony has announced the PSVR bundle will get a permanent price drop to $299 US and $419.95 Australian dollars. It's a hefty cut, dropping $100 from the US and, what is it, $80 from, what's normally $499?
It's about 70, yes, it used to be $499.
Yeah, okay. In the US, the bundle in question includes a headset, PlayStation camera, and digital copy of Doom VR. In Europe, you get PSVR Worlds instead of Doom. That's a... You get the short end of the stick there, Europe.
VR Worlds is good.
but Doom.
Yeah, Doom's... VR Worlds is kind of better.
So why? You tell me, VR owner, why?
Why?
Why such the hefty price drop? Is it to get more people in?
Yeah.
Is it to sell more? Is it because they're getting ready for, like, VR
2.0? Well, my theory was, if you listen to the last week's episode, Josh, which I know you didn't.
Well, no, I haven't.
One of the big discussions about what are they going to do at E3.
I had a week off, okay? I'm not going to, like, spend an hour doing the content and then get an hour listening to the content.
Yeah, it's like you didn't actually win or lose.
Anyway, yeah.
One of my big theories coming into E3 was they may announce the PSVR 2 and then say, look, you know, we understand we kind of fucked it up with the first one, hence why there's the 1.2 version.
Have they though?
Well, they haven't. They're only because they're like, they've released, you can clearly tell it was designed prior to like earlier than they announced it, right? Because they're like, it's here, and it's like, does it have HDR support? Does not. Like, but you just announced HDR like a month ago, like, yep.
Because by the time PSVR came out is really when like Oculus and Vive really hit their stride. Granted, they are much more expensive units, but that the technology they were using was just so far superior.
Like, great, this is PSVR still great entry level PSVR, but I'm thinking that they might, you know, with the price drop this one, to then allow for a newer model to come in at a higher price point.
Yeah, maybe.
And my theory was as well, they're like, hey, this is the new PSVR, you know, 2.0. It has this, and when it comes, it's fully compatible with PlayStation 5.
Cordless.
Oh. And when it comes, you snuggle afterwards.
No, you don't. When it comes, it will leave and go to someone else's house.
But yeah, so like it makes sense. Plus, it's also been 2 years on the market now. It's about time it dropped.
I think they need to streamline the how you use it a little bit in terms of the plugs and all that.
Yeah, and that's what the version 1.2 or whatever.
Did it something just with the headphone jack, wasn't it?
Yeah, no. So the actual headset itself does have built-in headphones now, so there's no extra cord. The cords are actually thinner because like mine are like, it's all different gauge. Like it's fucking like a fucking wire.
Monster cables.
So the wires are thinner. Obviously, as a result, they're less heavy. It does have HDR support, so whenever I go to use it, I have to unplug it and plug it back in.
Yeah.
Small thing, but I'm like, oh, I want to play a game.
But it's enough to make you
it's
go,
enough to go, oh, fuck it, it's staying in the box.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, because that way, because mine's already, all, you know, 99% of the time plugged in, but I have to go in there and switch HDMIs, and then
having said that, Sony have a decent track record of just abandoning things that aren't going well either.
So maybe they're just doing this to be like,
we're done.
What VR?
Yeah, what are you talking about? You get all these shitty fucking indie titles for the rest of VR.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool shit lately. Like I've played more VR in the last like month and a half than I have in like a year.
Number two, Fortnite continues its reign when it comes to breaking records, having smashed YouTube's record for the most uploaded videos of a video game in a single month in the history of the platform. YouTube's Ryan Wyatt shared the news in a tweet that also mentioned that the turnout for a huge Battle Royale event later last week. Quote, how big is Fortnite game on YouTube? Fortnite holds the record for the most videos related to a video game uploaded in a single month ever. And the Battle Royale tournament had over 42 million live views and set a record for biggest single live gaming stream at 1.1 million concurrent views.
Jesus Christ.
This is on YouTube, not Twitch as well. That's fucked.
That's just Twitch, yeah?
Just YouTube.
Jesus.
Yesterday there were... Yeah, it's just YouTube, 1.1 mil. That's like 10 times the amount of views we've ever had in one stream. So... Like, where does this stop, man?
I got no idea.
Because we were saying the same thing about PUBG last year. Now it's obvious that Fortnite has eclipsed PUBG in every conceivable way. What are you doing?
I'm working on something. Calm your shit. I'm getting questions.
But you're Googling Far Cry 5.
Yeah, because I gotta make a post.
Oh, it's a bit late now. We're gonna be asking for him in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Where does it stop?
I'm getting people like as it happens.
You tell me, where does it stop, Fortnite? Because there's the news reports of like, you know, the whole violent video game thing. There's also reports of many schools having to ban Fortnite over Wi-Fi.
Which we talked about last week as well. Kids perfect are playing pick it. With Paul being a teacher.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's shit. Funny as fuck.
I was giving.
Because I'd be like, if I was teaching and they're playing Fortnite, I'd be like.
I was giving you praise. I'm like, well, Josh would know that you're a teacher because we talked about it before. And I'm like, God, fucking Josh. Nailed that news perfectly. Nailed it. And you're like, no. Look, I think it makes sense. It is on 1,000 devices, which is obviously a big thing for it.
All linked devices, yes. As well.
So everything, but everyone can talk to each other, but PS4.
No, but
Xbox.
I mean your progress.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, and then you could play with the PC. But, you know, is the most open game that's completely possible at this point.
I don't know. I don't know if mobile yet.
Yeah, no, it does.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fuck, you wouldn't want to play with anyone else. When you're playing
I'm
on,
pretty
on
positive
tablet.
You can play with like consoles and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Positive.
I don't know.
I remember there being a release about it anyway.
It's coming to Android in the next couple months as well.
So yeah. So now, as I said, with its sort of cartoony esque, you know, appeal and look, like it makes sense why it's so popular because like it's more approachable than PUBG is and ever will be, and it's free.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, like Epic have seen nothing but money.
Yeah, fuck it. Alex bought the Battle Pass today. Because ever since his win, now he's like...
He's invested.
I'm in now.
Hashtag professional gamer.
So, yeah, I took him to EB Games this morning, got a PlayStation gift card, tops up his account, and he bought the Battle Pass. So, as you complete challenges, if you go to your Battle Pass, there's like silver challenges and rewards and then gold. If you don't have the Battle Pass...
Oh, you're losing your voice too now. Jesus Christ.
If you don't have the Battle Pass, you only get the silver rewards, which are just like little shitty emotes and stuff. But if you buy the Battle Pass, you retroactively get everything you would have got anyway.
Oh.
So he's like level 20 in this season, and he's got skins and a new pickaxe and emote. He got this epic dance, like all this stuff retroactively unlocked.
That's cool.
For like, I think it worked out to be like $9, which... It's free, and he's loving it, and he's spent probably a good 20-plus hours on it. So he's like, I want to spend money. Like, I really want... Because he goes, I feel like a noob, because he's got no skins, he's got nothing. I'm like, fine, get the Battle Pass. And then, yeah, it's just like, unlocked. And he's got, like, double XP for the next week and a half.
So having not played a lot of Fortnite, do they nickel and dime you for hey, give us money.
You don't see the store or V-Bucks or prompts to buy... Unless you actually go to the store. Like on your main title screen where it's like load into the game and all that, that's all it is. Here's your challenges for the day, queue. And there's
no like...
I might
play some tonight actually.
No, like, you know, do you want to buy this? Do you want to buy that? Sure, you go to the store has... You can't buy whatever cosmetic item you want whenever you want. It's got rotating deals.
Yeah, and apparently it flips. There's there's new skins every week sort of thing.
Yeah, so there's like, I think, two-day deals with two like big items, and then every day there's like six things that kind of rotate through, which you can buy if you want them or not. But once you do get it, you know how when you play for free, you just get given a random character?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get a skin, you can just play that character all the time. So it's not only like when you randomly... happened to get that character who had that skin. That's what I thought it was. I'm like, that's a bit of shit, but it's not that at all. But no, it doesn't seem like they're nickel and dime at all. Like I said, the store's not in your face. You're not prompted to buy anything ever unless you actually go to the store.
I like that. That's pretty
good. It is
good.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think marketing being having no barrier to entry is insane. And I think that's what the difference is. And I think that's where it's coming. Like, you know, I guarantee the player base is skewing young.
Mm. Oh, fucking oath it is, yeah. But yeah, that's fine. And
like, it's not like you shoot people, but there's no blood, there's no gore.
Yeah, there's nothing, there's no swearing, there's no voice chat unless you opt into it. There's no, even on PC, there's no type boxes. So
like, you know, granted, you know, with all like Current Affair and those sort of tabloid news things getting up in the shit about it, like they, like, there's like, it's most games have guns and violence, and it's part of, you know, it's part of it. There's more, like, there are kid shows that be more violent than Fortnite.
Yeah, I think the Wiggles hit someone in their car once. The big red car. I think it was like this whole story arc.
We gotta hit and run. Chugga chugga flee the sea.
The next song is like, we are the police.
We're gonna blame Henry.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just amazing. And like, I vehemently hate the game, but I really enjoy it at the same time. Like when I play it, because
can you do duos?
Yeah, you can do duos.
Can you do duos?
Yeah, I can try. I'm not good.
I haven't played it.
But like on the weekends, I'll pull Alex's TV into the lounge room with the PlayStation, I've seen it all set up. You know, play some 2-player games together, and yeah, it's just I enjoy playing it. But I can't kill people in it. I do well at Overwatch. I do well at COD. I do well in pretty much every.
You did pretty well at PUBG.
Every multiplayer game I play, I do reasonably well.
You hold
well.
Your own. You may not win, but you hold your own.
But Fortnite, when it comes to killing people like in my face, I can't do it. I don't know what it is, but I just have so much trouble downing people. So I hide for the whole fucking game. And I came in the top 5 3 times last
See, time. That's my PUBG trick. So we're going to be just fine.
It's the building you've got to get your head around.
Yeah,
the people that like you fire one bullet at them and then they're in a tower with a peeking window for their sniper in like half a second. That's what you got to try to
Is it tutorials?
No. That's the thing. There's no tutorials.
That would be really helpful.
No tutorials, no training ground. You got the pre-game lobby, but it's not it doesn't explain anything.
Okay.
I've got a pretty good grasp of it. I'm just fucking trash.
Yeah, give it a bell.
It's just the game I can't seem to get any better at. Number 3, if a recent job listing is any indication, EA Vancouver Studios is working on an open world Star Wars game. The listing discovered by GameSpot on EA Vancouver's careers page is for a lead designer who will, quote, lead a team to deliver online features for a Star Wars open world project. While the job post doesn't provide much info in terms of specifics about the project itself, we do know that EA Vancouver is currently at work on what initially started as the Amy Hennig-directed Star Wars project at Visceral. The game is being developed across EA Worldwide Studios with its Vancouver studio heading up production.
We knew this. I don't think they announced, like, with the closure of Visceral, a lot of those guys were going to work with Amy Hennig. And they didn't cancel her.
No.
She wasn't Visceral. She was a different one, wasn't she?
They're just using all her assets.
Was she part of the Visceral one?
I don't know. Yeah, that's what it just read in the article. Hang on. Let me go back up. EA Vancouver is currently at work on what initially started direct Star Wars project.
Because I know there was another Star Wars project in there somewhere. I remember the talk was, they're like, we don't want the single player
linear story
anymore. Yeah. And everyone thought that was hyperbolic, but apparently not.
Yeah, no.
Like, the writing was on the wall for this.
Yeah. Having said that,
I'd totally play it.
I'll probably play it. I played. I forget. Jesus, baby. I played the MMO when it first came out.
The Old Republic.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. I don't know. It's just, I'm just tired about hearing about Star Wars. Really.
Oh.
It's just every day there's something else Star Wars. I didn't like The Last Jedi. EA's fucking it up. Who wants a Han Solo movie? Where's the Obi-Wan movie? Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Star Wars is like the
but it's a very passionate fan.
Oh yeah, I'm a mad Star Wars fan, and like, we're horrible. Like, a lot of us are horrible people. Like, you gotta remember, this is a fan base that like dismissed 3 movies just because.
I mean, I watched The Last Jedi last week as well.
It's fine.
And I thought it was fine.
It's fine.
It definitely had bits I was like, why was that even, like, what was the point of that whole arc when it literally amounted to nothing?
About the casino thing?
Yeah.
I know, right?
That whole trip, Finn's whole arc in the movie accomplished nothing, pushed forward nothing.
Well, it pushed forward a little bit, but like,
just the way it was presented.
Oh yeah, the most insignificant shit. But that's a different show.
But I enjoyed it for the most part. I thought it was fine. But apparently it's the worst piece of trash since episode 1 as well.
That is not true. Like, I'm a prequel apologist because I love them.
Yeah.
They are worse than The Last Jedi.
Yeah. And The Last Jedi was fun. I really liked it. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what comes of that whenever. If ever. But or Disney's just like, nah.
Nah. Yeah, I'm curious to see whether.
What would Disney do if they're like, who else would Disney go to?
Don't know.
Who else would you trust?
I think what they would need to do is, you know, do essentially what Marvel is doing right now, where they're like, we'll pick people that we know will do good. Yeah. They're like, we want an Avengers-style RPG.
Instead of giving the entire license to Square Enix.
Yeah. We want a really good Spider-Man game. Who did that Sunset Overdrive? Insomniac? Cool. There you go, Insomniac. Oh, no, that was... I knew the answer.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Give it Insomniac, because that's very Spider-Man-y. Here you go. Find the people that are good for it.
A Square Enix Star Wars game would be fucking sweet. That'd be so good. I mean, Square Enix aren't what they used to be, but they are still, like, best in the business.
Like, they've still got that good RPG heritage, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking of RPGs...
It's not an RPG, but sure.
Frontier Development's Dinosaur Park Management Sim Jurassic World Evolution will be released digitally on June 12th for PC, PS4, and Xbox One, and physically on July 3rd for PS4 and Xbox One. Although Evolution's release date was accidentally leaked 2 weeks ago, this is the first we've learned of the physical release date. Jurassic World Evolution was announced at last year's GameCon.
Cool. Fuck yeah.
So we go God of War to Detroit. To Jurassic World Evolution. So it's kind of, you know, month by month.
Nothing but wins.
Yeah, nothing but wins. Unless you want... I mean, are you going to wait an extra 3 weeks to get it physically?
No. Who buys physical games anymore? Yeah, me too.
I love my physical games. Because if they're garbage, I can trade them in.
Yeah. No, I'm keen as shit because, like, I've played a lot of, like, Jurassic Park Builder on phones. But because that being a phone game, it's like, hey, it's going to take 4 days... Give
or you
us
can
money.
Pay us $4. And
Well, hopefully this has that all removed out, and I can just have my own sweet Jurassic, you know, dinosaur
Your
theme park.
Your own park.
My own park. Betson Park.
I know you enjoyed playing, like, Civ and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, I do. Like, RTS... I'm very particular with, like, my RTSs and my sim games. Like, City Skylines, fucking fantastic fun. Mm. And, like, if I can do City Skylines level of fun, but with dinosaurs, win! And Jeff Goldblum's coming to reprise Ian Malcolm for it.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
I think the last sim game I played was a Roller Coaster Tycoon way back when.
I know.
That was awesome. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
It was really good back then.
Oh, and I'm a big fan of Game Dev Tycoon. I've been trying to push that for a stream, like, every week. I'm like, hey.
You can literally do whatever you want.
I know, but I'm always trying to be nice. Because it's all about the views.
Oh, okay.
It's all about them views.
Oh, I didn't realize we were like that.
Twitch.tv/popculturist.
Number five, God of War is guaranteed to look stunning on the PlayStation 4. But if you do happen to have a PS4 Pro,
it's me.
Or you're picking up that spiffy new limited edition, then you will have some options to choose how you want to play it. There'll be 4K option, of course, which will checkerboard to 2160p, as previously confirmed. But there will also be a performance mode for those of you who favour frame rate over resolution. It's unlikely this will bump the frame rate to 60 frames per second, but according to director Corey Barlog, it, quote, makes the game run so smooth. We'll be able to see the differences ourselves when the title drops shortly.
I'll be very likely playing that mostly in the frame rate performance. Mm. Because after playing God of War 3 remastered on PS4 at 60 frames, I'm like, oh, it's beautiful.
Oh.
Like, the animations of, like, just all the animations are so smooth.
Did you see the video IGN had of Corey Barlog reading their comment section?
No.
He has the comedic timing of a legend. He's just reading the IGN comments and responding to them. He's so much funnier and more charismatic than I thought. I highly recommend you try to watch the
101 answer questions with, like, Game Informer or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, bam, it's like just rocket fire, and he's just quick.
Yeah, it's good. He's very witty. The IGN, it's only like 8 minutes, but it was fucking hilarious.
No, I am stupid keen for God of War still. Like I said, I've got to get down, so I might put some monies on my pre-order.
Mm.
From a collector's edition.
Mm.
That's 3 weeks away, dude.
Oh, yeah.
3 weeks away.
Mm. I might be balls deep in Divinity 2, though, then.
Mm.
PS Plus games for April 2018 have been unveiled. For PS4, you will get Mad Max and Trackmania Turbo. For PS3, you'll get In Space We Brawl and Toy Home. And for Vita, you get 99 Vitas and Qbert Rebooted.
You get 99 Vitas and Vitas on a Vita?
What? Mad Max is a good pull.
Yeah,
I've heard nothing but good about that. Yeah. We did play it at one of the expos we went to just before it came out.
That was one of the first ones we went to.
Yeah. Trackmania Turbo is fucking rad as well. Alex has it on his new Xbox. very fun. So they're maybe not quite as... I don't know why they did Ratchet and Clank and Bloodborne in the same month. It seems like it would be good to spread those caliber games
I think it
out.
Was to sort of offset the news that they were pulling support. It was just like, look over here.
Oh, actually, I mean, also... You know, if Bloodborne is your free game for the month, a lot of, you know, underage kids are going to be disappointed in that as well. Because, you know, same thing here. Mad Max is very adult and gritty, and Trackmania Turbo is just dumb, stupid, colourful fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're doing well. Yeah. They're doing well.
I'm not too bummed. I'm going to check out Mad Max, that's for sure.
Our top selling games for week ending last week, because I forgot to write down the date. Number 10, COD World War II. Number 9, Horizon Zero Dawn. Number 8, Monster Hunter World. Number 7, Burnout Paradise Remastered. Number 6, Destiny 2. Number 2, Uncharted. Number 5, Uncharted The Lost Legacy. Number 4, GT Sport. Number 3, Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered. Number 2, A Way Out. And number 1, Ni No Kuni 2.
Oh yeah, I played A Way Out.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Damn, it's awesome fun.
Assassin's Creed being up there is weird.
The Rogue Remastered.
I don't even remember Rogue being a game.
Rogue was the PS3 exclusive one.
Right.
And it was like sort of, if I remember, it was sort of an expansion on one of them, kind of.
I don't know.
Like, I never played it.
How was The Way Out?
Well, it was good fun, dude. Like, I thought it was going to be a little bit hammy and a bit dumb in terms of the co-op side of things, but, like, that game is structured around co-op. If there was not co-op in that game would not work. Like, it's fun.
Is there any replayability?
I think
like
so.
Like, are there different routes you can take, or is it just
Oh, there's totally different routes. Like, okay. An example is when we were in the tool shop and we had to get this tool out, and there's, like, you know, there's two ways that we initially worked out. After, like, the one we did, which was break down, you know, essentially disable the metal detector so we could just walk out with it.
Mm.
And the other one was, okay, there's a vent over there, we've got to break open that vent, so you distract that guy while I break the vent open. All right, cool, now distract that guy while I flog the tool. You walk through the detector, go outside, I throw it through the vent, you take it, I walk out, nothing.
Sounds like so much more effort than just disabling the metal detector.
Yeah, like, but, you know, getting into that room, the power room, to pull the power was, like, just as complicated.
Yeah, right.
So there's a lot of that shit which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stupid mini games as well, which were all really fun. Like, you know, we've just broken out of prison. We go to this house, and we have the option, like, do we kill these people or we let them live? Like, okay, we'll let them live. Well, we let them live because we're doing the right thing. We let them live, so we had to, like, release their horses out. So they're off chasing their horses, and we're wandering around the house, and we're just, like, doing whatever we want. Like, in theory, you, like, get in, get out, right? Mm. But we're like, hey, what's this banjo? And there's this banjo mini game, and it's like...
Did the developers, like... crackhead sense of humor come through to the game?
There's a little bit in there, but like the two characters, there's, I think it's Leo and Vincent. One of them clearly looks like Joseph Reyes.
Oh yeah,
very clearly, like the same eyebrows, the same eye structure, the same nose. Like, you're this guy, you've created yourself in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, a lot of fun. As much as I love the fact that it's entirely co-op, I'm bummed that it's entirely co-op.
Would it be fun with a random you don't know that you just get matchmaked with?
No.
Does it have matchmaking, or do you have to find someone?
I think you have to find someone.
Because I've seen on Reddit, there's actually a whole subreddit dedicated to finding someone to play A Way Out with.
Yeah, but I think because the way it works is we both don't have to have a copy of the game.
Yeah, I know.
I can buy it, and I just give you a code, and you go on to this. So you download the game, like the free trial of it, and you enter the permission code from me, and we connect.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that, but I mean...
That is fucking awesome, by the way.
Yeah, no, that is.
Because it is, in theory, shooting yourself in the foot, you're only selling one game, but...
But it might convince that
person... You are going to get more people to play it.
Yeah, but it also might convince that person, if they had a good time, to pick it up so they can give another one of their friends a code. Yeah. And, you know, so on and so forth. That's it for the news, Ryan, as we head into the segment where we chat to the players about... Far Cry 5.
After much anticipation and, in fact, a delay, Far Cry 5 has finally made its way to the PlayStations. So for us, we should say a big thank you to Ubisoft Australia for providing us a copy of the game. Let's talk first impressions, Josh. Wow. Now, I've streamed this game twice already. I'm probably going to do a couple more times because it's good, fun, open worldness. Let me know what you think, and then I'll jump on.
It's all right. What about you? I've probably put in, I don't know, 4 hours at this point. Setting's good. I enjoy kind of not just being on this remote fucking island somewhere again. Mm. You know, it's Montana, which, you know, the setting's really good. It's very beautiful. You know, very, very, very trees and...
Very trees.
Much streams.
Many streams, yeah.
I bet, yeah, what always interested me about Far Cry 5 from the first trailer and everything was the story. I was like, this actually seems like really fucking cool. not just the other games where, you know, you're on some island and there's some batshit dude controlling the island. It's like the whole, all the religious undertones and everything. And from the opening cutscene, I was like, this story is going exactly the way I wanted it to go, where, you know, the fanatical devotees and all that kind of stuff. And it was really cool. And then, you know, learning more about the antagonist, Joseph Seed, and then, you know,
His family,
Faith,
John. Peter. Peter?
So I'm in Faith's area.
They're all
there will be minor, very early game spoilers in this chat, but I don't think anything major story-wise will come up. But I'm in Faith's area, and I was taken aback a bit by the enemies you encounter there.
Yeah, that's probably the, I think I've another show.
It's like
I've
the supernaturally
to.
Side.
Yeah,
of things.
They've talked to a lot of people who say this is the most gamey section of the map in terms of, like, so what they've done in the same vein of like Ghost Recon Wildlands, as in there are different, there's a whole region that is this particular family members. Like when you were doing the cartel stuff in Wildlands, this cartel member was over here, this was their area. The whole idea is do what you can to weaken their area.
So the map's divided into three, and from what I understand, before four. Three, and then you got Joseph Seed like bang in the middle in his little encampment. So from what I understand, you need to liberate the three other areas from the three family members, and you can, you know, take the final assault to Joseph. I love the voice acting; it's all very good. Have you met Tweak?
No.
Really, you haven't met Tweak?
I haven't wandered into Faith. I'm working on.
I don't think he was
the
there.
Southeast. I'm working on the southwest, so Tweak, I haven't gone to Faith.
Tweak is a character who gives you synthetic drugs, make you faster, make you stronger. But he's fucking tweaking all the time, and his encampment is just mannequins. And every time you go there, he's like having a conversation with a different mannequin. he's like all like twitchy and
super
shit.
Annoying.
Yeah, he's like, hey man, yeah. And the mission to get the strength drug, he's got all these Faith's enemies, Faith's zombie people, like all locked up.
They're all hocked up on Bliss.
Yeah, they're hocked up on Bliss, which is a plant extract thing. But he's got them all in like a shed, and he's like, you're gonna punch these motherfuckers to death. I'm like, fucking bring it. So you inject this drug and he lets them all out, and you've got to punch them into campfire, like big bonfires, so they come up to you and you just go Hudush! And they go and then when you boot them across the ground, they just go like fucking skidding on the ground. But yeah, he gives you all the drugs and stuff, and I found him, I'm surprised, like, to me he's a major character, but then to you haven't met him at all, like heard of him yet, so it kind of shows the breadth that's of the game as well. However, for me anyway, like, I find the setting and the characters so interesting that that's all I want to see. And the rest of the open world, there is a joke early on, you know, where you're climbing a radio tower and the NPC's like, don't worry, I won't have you climbing radio towers all over the map. Like a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Remember you do that a lot of other ones.
You remember, yeah. But there is a lot of the old samey Far Cry stuff. Liberate the encampment, you know, save the civilians. The encampments have alarms. If they get triggered, then, you know, more enemies come and you're fucked. There is a lot of that obviously everywhere, but you need to do a lot of that stuff to... Basically, each area has like a bar, and as you do missions in that area, the bar fills up to liberation.
You're essentially and building a resistance for
you're building
that
a resistance, and... I really just want to do the story. Like, I just want to, like, take out this guy, take out that guy, see some cool shit, and get to the end. And I'm not quite in... I guess I'm not in the mood at the moment for all this open-worldiness. Now, it is quite liberal with planes and helicopters, as I found out. I always found one nearby. like, when I select a mission and it's like, it is literally 2,950 meters away, I'm like, I just want to do the mission. Like, I don't want to... You know, but that's, I think that's just the mind. Because I Platinum Far Cry 3, Platinum Far Cry Primal, I love Far Cry games. And this is more of a Far Cry game than a Far Cry game we've ever had, yeah? But I think it might just be the mindset I'm in at the moment, where I'm like, I just want to get on with it. And it, not in like a detrimental way. It's just, like I said, I'm so enthralled by the story that that's all I want to see. And that's a good thing. But at the moment, I'm just having trouble kind of like digging through everything to get to what I want to see. Even though digging through all everything is fucking awesome. And the gunplay is amazing. Yeah. That's my initial thoughts. I love it so much that I hate it. if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I think it's really, really good. Like, first of all, it's visually stunning. Playing on PS4 Pro, it's an also upscaled 4K. I think, or might be running slightly lower. But like, as in, like, it's not full run. Like on the Xbox One X, it's running at native 4K. It's beautiful.
But anytime you say they 4K or 60fps, I'm like, ooh, Mr. Big Shot.
Well, no, it's giving information that people might want to know. It does run at a lock 30 on consoles. I've had almost no performance problems at all. Playing it in here as well for streams, it's subsamples on this 1080p
Vivo
garbage.
Perfectly. Is Vivo still a brand?
No. It was a Dick Smith brand.
Yeah, it was. I remember selling them, and I remember all of them getting returned.
Probably should return this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm the same vein as you. That opening cinematic, the opening of the story, I'm like, this is fucking fantastic. I want more of this. Give me all of this.
It's got the outlasty kind of vibe. Yeah. The real fucked up.
And it's just like, you start to, like, you get the understanding of who they are and their power. And when you're in that, spoilers, opening scene, and then you see people just Dawn of the Dead bum rushing that helicopter.
One of them jumped
into
the
blade. And one of the guys jumps into the blade. Yeah. Like, you're like, okay.
That's just after this, I think Joseph Seed said, they'll die for me.
Like, this is the level of dedication these guys have for them. So you're understanding that as you're going throughout this world and they will fight you in any instance they see you, like, okay, now I know why.
Too bad the US Marshal didn't notice that a little bit.
Sooner. So they're not just henchmen. Yeah. They're also fucking, but like, one of the most powerful things you can get out of someone is just belief and faith. And like, this is taking full advantage of that in terms of the NPC, and that as a result is building that world. It gives everyone that reason to get up in your shit.
Far Cry has been very good from 3 onwards of having interesting antagonists.
True, yeah? With Vaas and Pagan Min and now Joseph Seed. Like, yeah, they've, like, granted, I think Vaas was so good, it's very difficult to come back to match him because it's a very different level of Big Bad.
Yeah.
But once you get out of that opening sequence, you get to Dutch's Island, and then, you know, once you get off Dutch's Island and the world opens up and that fog lifts, you're like, now it's Far Cry.
This is fucking huge.
It's fucking huge. And then you're like, okay, this is where it becomes Far Cry.
Yeah.
Like, this is where we lose not the power of that opening sequence.
You lose the direction
and you lose some of it. So when we were playing, like, when we're playing here with Ethan from Technology and Gaming, we were like, well, let's do whatever we want. Let's not do any missions. Let's just fucking have fun. And we did, and we had so much fun. Like, we're like, okay, we're off the island. Where is the world going to take us? Like, there's that big statue in the distance. Let's go fuck up that statue. And we did. We proceeded to traverse all the way to the statue, blow it the fuck up, and then base jump off it.
The thing is, the opening sequence sets a really good sense of urgency, and that's a hard thing that open worlds have maintaining, is that sense of, like, we need to get this done, when it's, you can spend 100 hours fucking scavenging and playing with pigs and shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's where I kind of went, because I was so pumped up for that opening sequence, and I was like, fuck yeah, get off Dutch's Island, you know. So Dutch's Island is pretty much, there's a tower, there's an encampment, this is everything you're going to encounter out in the world, you kind of do one of everything. I'm like, fuck yeah, all right, let me at him. And then it opens up, and I was like, and the urgency's gone.
Yeah.
Because all the direction disappears, which is Far Cry, but I'm just so enthralled by this story that I'm like, no, I just want to do this.
But in terms of the shrines and the outposts, like, the moment-to-moment gameplay is really good, so that you're always pushing forward. So like, you've just liberated a camp, and then there's a guy there, you talk to him, and he's like, oh man, I heard about this over there. So there's always somewhere to go. There's like, it's open world with the freedom to do it, Barbie, to do whatever you want, but it's not directionless. Like, granted, a lot of the times you're giving side missions, but those side missions will lead to a main mission.
Yeah, but and the side missions also up your resistance bar, whatever they call it. You know, it does help with, you know, redeeming that area of the map as well. Like, everything you do has purpose towards it, and they've done it in a good way. Everything you do has purpose towards the main story, but it's also not the main story at the same time.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, what I do like, though, is, like, when you do liberate, you know, like, an area, and then that little town becomes, its own functioning town again, and the NPCs are back, and
the shop vendors come.
The
back.
Shop vendors, you know, like it's actually you do genuinely feel like you're having an impression on this world by bringing it back to the way it was. Now, granted, we've not done the end game yet, so we don't know what this overall means in terms of like. Like by liberating all these areas, is that going to come back to us in a good way?
Maybe not, because we know Far Cry, it's never a straight and narrow story. There's always something towards maybe 70-ish% of the game that just fucks everything up.
Yeah, and that's likely to be the case, and it's going to all switch up on us. Is it the gunplay is fun and good? The driving's fine. It's not great, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Having a more fleshed out buddy system is good. But
I haven't used it because I always prefer just being solo in these games. On Dutch's Island, you get a buddy, and he just got in the way. He wouldn't shut the fuck up. And so from when I left him, it's like, you know, do you want to hire this person or do you want this person to follow you? I'm like, no, I really enjoy just being by myself.
Yeah, so the first guy was garbage. Then I got Boomer, the dog.
Mm. I take the dog. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, Boomer scouts the area for you. So he will help mark enemies for you.
Instead of pulling your binoculars out.
Yeah, so he'll help mark enemies. And then he can also tackle one for you. So while you're tackling one, you can jump on another. Like that butt's really handy. And then I met Grace, who's a sniper. So you get her to hang back. She also helps scope him out.
And the last dude's like strafing runs or something. Isn't in a plane.
And like you also got a little bunch of random
townspeople,
random pickups as well. Like
your voice is going so far down the toilet at this point.
But like, there's a bear called Cheeseburger that you can get. Yeah, called Cheeseburger.
And what I don't like is a silent protagonist.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you know, in Far Cry 3, Brody at least had a voice. Because there's many times when you're interacting with NPCs and they're talking directly at you, but you say nothing. And to me, you need something. Far Cry is not the kind of game to have a silent protagonist, and it hasn't for the last three games. You've always
I didn't play a lot of Far Cry 4, so I don't know.
Maybe 4, I'm not sure on 4, but I know 3, you were Brody, you spoke in Primal, you spoke... so I know that kind of takes it away from me a little bit, and I also don't like how when I want to go to a clothing shop, it has to actually load the Ubisoft store to show me the cosmetic options.
Same goes when it comes down to swapping out guns.
It has
to load up because it needs
and it takes
to
like
enter.
30 seconds for it to connect.
Yeah, loading
load
times
up.
Are garbage, by the way. Like just opening, like granted, once you're in the world, unless you're going into a my voice is fucked, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
Once you like, unless you're going into one of the stores, there is no loading.
Yeah, and that's really especially considering the size of the map. But I just want to like. Check out what hats I've got. It's like connect, you know, fetching the online store. It's like, I don't want the online store. Just what hats can I change now? But it's obviously, you know, you can get your premium currency in, you know, all that kind of shit.
Now, granted, the premium currency, although it's there and they're like, do you want to buy silver bars? Like, I've yet to find it intrusive.
I found everything to be reasonably priced so far. I was even looking at cars, and I'm like, I think it's going to be like $50,000. And it was like $7,000 for the first car. I'm like, I've got 5 and I've just been fucking around.
Yeah,
you
like,
know?
I remember, because I think someone did say, like, money is hard to come by. And I'm like, I'm sitting here with, like, $8,000. I'm like, bought this sweet bow.
Yeah, well,
and upgraded
the
shit
looking
out
at all
of it.
The cool guns and shit, it's like $6,000. It's like, oh, I expected it to be 20,000 plus.
Yeah, like, if you stopped and go to the little, shut up. If you go to like the little, the bunkers where you can go raid people's stashes and stuff, like you can get some reasonable money fast. Like, granted, if something's like $80,000, you're gonna have to grind pretty hard for it. But
you also don't need it either. It's just like I really want that because I want it, not because I can't do this without it. Like, there's nothing in the game that seems to be like that, where it's like, unless you buy this $100,000 thing, you can't go past this point.
Exactly. There's no gating off of it. Like, there's no game content that way. Like, and even though... shut up. So far, all the weapons that are available to me in the store, I found in the wild.
Yeah, same.
Like, whether it be, like, the tan gun, the bow, the flamethrower, the shotgun... It's all there. So, like, it's not being like this game, like, this gun is only viable here.
One more thing. The music.
It sets the scene something fierce, doesn't it?
Especially the menu music.
Yeah.
I remember I was playing the other day and I needed to get up and, like, do the washing and the dishes and all that. And I just let that menu music run because it is so tranquilly peaceful. like so Southern American, but so just such a beautiful piece of music just on the menu. Yeah, anyone that's been listening for a while knows that I love video game soundtracks and music and all that, and I honestly didn't expect this level of quality of a soundtrack out of Far Cry 5. It really surprised me, and I really, 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 really like it.
Okay, so I did put the post up, and Chris Conway, one of our regular contributors, did comment nothing of value. Thank Chris. Like, he's like, I can't wait to play this game. Thank Chris.
Oh, I thought you said he wrote nothing of value.
Oh. No, I was like, tell us what you think about Far Cry. And he's like, yeah, I want to go to play it. I'm like, thanks, Chris.
I mean, I am going to finish it.
Yeah.
A barrier for me also is because I have to play it on the Pop Culturist account. So trophies and all that don't go to my progression. And even though I say I don't give a shit about trophies, I kind of do at the same time, yeah. You know? Because, like I said, I Platinum 3 and Primal. And if, you know, the trophy difficulty is similar in Far Cry 5 to them, it'll be a pretty achievable Platinum in this too. But obviously, I'm not going to get on the Pop Culturist account. I don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. But no, I think I can only play it in small bursts. A couple hours at a... Because, I tend to get a game and then sit down with it for a five-hour block. And I don't think I can with Far Cry 5.
Well, we're yet to try co-op. So I think if we try some co-op, maybe that'll change it a little bit. Mm. As in, like, that'll give us that, not urgency, but we'll be able to tackle things differently and maybe that'll change the fun.
Yeah, no, but it's not that it's not fun either. It's just like, I've had enough for now.
Mm.
Like, you know, I've do some outposts, save some people, do some things and be like, okay, I'm good for a bit.
Oh, and one thing I should mention as well before we wrap this up is just sort of like how the world works. Like, great, like the world. The what a wonderful world.
I know you idolize Batman, but let's take it down a notch.
The only downside is like when you're in the plane or a helicopter and you're up above and you're looking over, you can really see that the action is only happening when you are. But, which is a bummer. Like, it would be nice if shit was happening elsewhere. However, when you are just wandering through the world, like the wildlife, which is always a big staple of Far Cry games, like they're always... The
bobcats and shit.
Yeah, they're always doing cool shit. Like, I was wandering through and then I saw two wildebeests and then a fucking bobcat trying to tackle the buffalo and then both buffaloes just fucked up that bobcat.
Yeah, I got fucked up by a buffalo.
Yeah, as well. Like we got fucked up by a cow. Like on the stream, Ethan and I got ruined by a cow. And at the same point, right? Like just the small things. Like I found a woman being dragged by a man. So I shot the man. Well, actually, no. I walked up. The man went, huh? And then the fucking game rocked him into the sky. And at this point, he hadn't sensed me yet. And then he goes, oh, there's a man over there. He goes, bing. And then I'm like, oh well. I saved that woman.
I saw a clip on somewhere, I think it was Reddit, of the, it's like Far Cry 5's dynamic UI, and you're in a house with an NPC and he dives out one window and then 3 seconds later dives back in another window and then just like walks up to you and say, hey man, what's up?
Like we just liberated this base and it's like, man, I'm so glad to have this back. Like, what are you doing? We just rebuilt this place. The open world stuff is really fun. One thing I fucking hate, and it's the same thing I hated in Far Cry 2, is the patrols.
There seems to be a lot more.
They are relentless.
There seems to be a lot more patrols. And like, you're encouraged to, like, not take the roads because the car... Like,
yeah.
There's so many cars coming past you. I don't take the roads. I'm like, I'll get in a plane or I'll just leg it through the
And that is one of the big reasons I stopped playing Far Cry 2. Because anytime I tried to drive anywhere, there's some motherfucker in a car.
Mm.
I'm like, you're ruining the exploration here.
Yeah. I don't want to have to keep stopping, starting.
It's frustrating. It's just annoying.
Having said that, the whole over and undertones of the game is really, really good.
Yeah.
I said, enjoy the scenery, enjoy the story, enjoy the characters. Very, very interesting. But it is Far Cry. It is as Far Cry as it gets. It's the new gold standard for Far Cry.
Yeah, it is by far one of the better, in terms of creation, like as in every part of it is solid. Like I still think Vass is a better villain.
But we haven't seen all of Joseph Seed yet.
That's true. But I'm saying like as in just the overall setup of the game, how it runs, how it looks, how it plays, is the best that Far Cry is going to be.
It's just paired with the scenery, what you know of the story, and the ambient soundtrack, the mood is always appropriate. Like you feel like, you feel like you're in the place where like everyone's given up and there's danger fucking every, like you feel it. It's just all those things tied together just really sets the right kind of atmosphere to get the feel of the game across.
Like I do certainly hope to finish it, get my credits on it.
You'll have to get it done by April 20, or you will not touch it.
Yeah, I will not get it done. Like if I don't get this finished before God of War, it is incredibly unlikely I'll ever get it finished.
Like I said, God of War, and then a month later Detroit, a month after that Jurassic World Evolution.
Jurassic World will be a smaller burst game. I think that'll be...
Well, you never know.
I never know.
You could fall head first.
But yeah, like everything has to get out of the way before God of War.
I'm going to do this. Have you played Far Cry 5? Do you enjoy it? What do you think? Please let us know in the comments below.
Yeah, thank you.
As we move into the segment... No. Far Cry 5's out now. I'm trying to think of how you would do it.
Oh,
Far Cry
5's
out now, but here are the games...
Okay. Far Cry 5 came out last week, but this is what's coming out this week in a section we call Coming to the Players.
I was trying to do that for you, but... Coming to the Players, a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, a bunch of garbage.
I'll go through it, but there's... accidentally closed.
Whoa.
That's how much I give.
It's so good this week that we just closed it down.
All right, I'm only going to have to talk for about 30 seconds.
Shit.
Lucky I had it.
Yeah,
had
apologies, apologies on my voice. Like I said, it's been relatively okay, and it's just kind of been dumb right now.
See, because I'm here, it's fine. But, like, the people that don't personally know you, I don't know if this is, like, fucking grating on their nerves. Like, hardcore
either,
right now.
Either it's super central, and you're like...
No, it's not central at all.
This is some ASMR shit.
Like, that level of depth without the... behind it, that'd be sexy.
But this sounds it's the rasp.
Yeah, it just sounds like you're that dude but from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I have a feeling it's this room, because it's hot in here, there's the circulated air with the little air conditioner. Like, I guarantee, like, give me half an hour back out of this room, it'll fix itself back up.
All right, the drop for next week, The Adventure Pals, PS4, digital, Bunny Must Die, Chelsea and the Seven Devils, PS4, PS Vita, digital, Crisis on the Planet of the Apes, PSVR, digital, Dan Gunn, Feveron, PS4, digital, Deadland, PS4, digital, Enigmatis 3, The Shadow of Karkala, PS4, digital, Epic Dumpster Bear, Dumpster Fire Redux, PS4,
what?
Digital.
I didn't, when we put it before, I only saw the dumpster, please read it to me.
I read the blur, it's actually kind of
cool. Please read it to me.
An evil corporation destroyed his forest, now it's his turn to take out the trash. Epic Dumpster Bear is an action-packed platformer inspired by the 16-bit classics, where you play as a dumpster bear with a chip on his shoulder.
Are we doing the voice?
No.
Oh,
you'll just
boo.
Wreck it even more.
Boo earns.
But yeah, I don't know. Evil Corporation destroys forest, now it's his turn to take out the trash. I thought it was funny. Flight of Light, PS4, digital. Impact Winter, PS4, digital. Infernium, PS4, digital. Island Time VR, PSVR, digital.
Oh, little crab. Hey, little crab.
It's Mr. Krabs. The King of Fighters 97 Global Match, PS4, PS Vita, digital. Metropolis, Lux Obscura, PS4, PS Vita, digital. Minute, PS4, digital. Of Mice and Sand Revised, PS4, digital. Penny Punching Princess, PS Vita, digital. Raining Coins, PS4, digital. Rememoried, PS4, digital. Sir Eats a Lot, PS Vita, digital.
I can relate to that game.
Do you want to hear about it?
Not really.
I'm going to tell you anyway. No, it's too long, actually.
That's good. Nice.
Hero Eats Lots.
So absolutely nothing of note in there.
They should be playing Far Cry 5 or Pillars of Eternity.
Yeah, I think I might probably play a lot of Far Cry movies and more MLB. I don't know, I don't really have a lot. I don't know, I picked up Undertale a couple of weeks ago. I might jump back in Undertale.
You gotta be in the mood for it.
Yeah, it seems weird.
It's great, but you gotta be in the mood for it.
But yeah, maybe we'll hear about what I think maybe next week. Fuck. Anyway, Josh.
That PlayStation conversation happened Monday morning. You can join him anymore every other Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, or 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you would like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you. We also have a merch shop. Ryan, can you do it?
I can. If you want to show your love of the Popculturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, handbags, pillowcases, fucking stickers, anything that you want.
So you can get a handbag or not?
No, you get like a tote bag, not a handbag. You get a little book, a little writing book. So when you're writing all your secret diary journal things, you can be in a lovely For the Players book.
You're stretching it out an awful lot for having a fucked up voice.
That's true. But of course, one thing that we have done this week is we finally become Twitch affiliated. So when we do streams, we'll be doing them in YouTube and Twitch. But anyway, twitch.tv/thepopculturist. Come over there, join the party, become a subscriber, maybe even donate. I'm in the process of making little emoticons and stuff for it now, so we can see how it goes. But before I sound more like the brother in, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire, you know, Rob Williams' brother that makes the mask. Yeah. Oh, honey, that's me right now. Anyways,
you're sounding Jewish.
I'm sounding like a Jewish gay man from Mrs. Doubtfire, or like a good pack of the day smoker. But until next week. I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.